I said, Jack, I'm sorry. I'm late for an appointment. I'll be back. Shoom! You know, and I'm out. When I said that he would not die, I told him, you will not die. You will be healed. And I said, you'll be going to be feeling great tomorrow. When I said that, that doctor who was injecting some kind of something into, you could just, his flesh just quivered. He just jumped. You know, we have a saying in my family, like a rabbit jumped over your grave. You know, when you get that little flinch. Well, I didn't hang around for him to say anything. I just got out of there. And some of you, you're thinking, oh, isn't that wonderful how spiritual God wasn't through. See, I kind of felt good about it too. I get on the elevator and the door closed. It's a big hospital, not one soul in the elevator. And the door shut. And I heard, when you get to the Bible study at Sugar Land tonight, as soon as you stand to your feet, announce to the entire group, Jack Flatt will not die. God has sent his word and healed him. And I said, oh God, don't do that. Lord, if I do that and Jack dies, just in case you thought I had great faith, if I do that and Jack dies, I'm through. I mean, you only get one screw up like that. You know, I mean, in the old days, they'd stone me to death. But today, the church, you may as well be dead, because that's the last time anyone is coming to one of the Bible studies where Floyd Jones the Magnificent is teaching. And Lord spoke to me one more time. He said, Floyd, if you don't, I won't be there with you tonight. I want you to say, I'm not afraid of many things. See, once I gave my heart to the Lord, I just quit being afraid. What can you do to me? Kill me? Isn't it awful? I'll be with Jesus forever. You know, what's the worst you can do to me? Kill me. But that terrified me. Not that God wouldn't minister to the people, to the innocent sheep, but my awareness of his presence, the anointing, simply wasn't going to be there. And I struggled. I struggled with that. And I wanted to trust God. But then he said one last thing. Listen, I want you to understand something. I want you to see God come to my rescue. His warrior was failing. But he wouldn't let me fail. The Lord spoke to me one last time and said, did you not hear my voice? And did I not confirm it by my word? Yes, Lord, you did. I didn't hear anything more. Didn't hear another thing. Now, just to make sure we all understand each other, listen to me. I want to get something clear. God doesn't wake me up every morning and say, Lord, Floyd, are you okay, boy? I mean, I'm really worried. I mean, the kingdom is at stake here, boy. Are you in good shape today? I want you to understand, I do not audibly hear God very often. Very rarely. But I'm trying to tell you that he still speaks. He still does the same kind of miracles he did in the Bible. And that he didn't do this for me because I was spiritual. I've tried to tell you my own struggles with, so that you understand I was not worthy. I was not spiritual. It was God's grace to Jack Flatt. I only was the mud ball he happened to use that time. I struggled with it all the way to Sugar Land. It was a long drive. And finally decided resignedly that I would obey God at all cost. And sure enough, as soon as the singing was over and I stood to my feet, I announced, Jack Flatt will not die. The next morning, Jack was completely healed. But they wouldn't let him leave the hospital. The doctors wouldn't dismiss him. They kept him there 3 or 4 days. I can't remember now. It's been so long, you know. 3 or 4 days examining him. They couldn't understand. This doesn't happen. And Jack just blabbed his mouth. Well, I know it sounds strange, but you see, there was a guy that came in. You could ask Dr. So-and-so. This guy came in, and Jesus healed me. See, this is real simple. Yeah, we know. Well, that's another test, you know, and everything. Of course, they dismissed this. Finally, Jack got out, and the same thing happened. Now it's even worse. Jack is blabbing his big mouth everywhere. And everywhere I go all over Houston, I'm hearing about it. Have you ever, you know, I just run into people drinking coffee in a coffee shop, you know, and you could hear someone over there saying, yeah, there's this guy I work with named Jack Flatt, and let me tell you what he told me. And I'm just sitting there. These people don't know me. I don't say a word. I'm just listening, you know. Great Scott. Everywhere I went, this kind of thing was happening. God was building faith in me. And he was showing me that he was multiplying my little feeble efforts. That this one clod that I baptized, all I did was baptize, but who put that fire in him? You hear what I'm saying? Well, God did. And I am just awed. I am awed. Jack is leading more people to the Lord than I am. I wasn't jealous. He was my child. I had birthed him in Jesus. Do you understand? I'm the one that led him to the Lord. I was enjoying it. Several months went by. I don't remember now. 3-4 months. I don't remember. And I got a phone call. Floyd, are you sitting down? Well, sit down. Bad news. God just took Jack Flatt home. Jack's dead. I was stunned. And I said, Lord, you can't do that. That isn't the way the story's supposed to end. Jack is a great witness. What a testimony this is. What an incredible testimony this is for your grace and your power and your healing ability. And this is a new Christian anyway. He doesn't know a lot of doctrine. I wouldn't have done it that way, God. I would have let Jack live for a long time with such a wonderful testimony. And the Lord didn't speak to me, but he just flooded my heart with thoughts like, Floyd, do you think Jack's the only person I've got on the planet giving testimonies about Jesus and about healing power and things like that? You think this is it? You think if Jack dies, that's it? Haven't you not read my Bible? Daniel died. Did the program stop? Moses died. Did it end? Did I not have a Joshua after Moses? When the 12 apostles died, did the gospel die? If so, Floyd, how did you hear about it? None of you are that important that I can't bring you home. Boy, it was sobering. And then the person on the other end told me, by the way, Floyd, Jack didn't die of a heart problem. See, God told me the truth. This sickness was not unto death. It was for the glory of God. He had a stroke and died instantly. Had nothing to do with his heart whatsoever. And that's the story of Jack Flatt. Now, why did I tell you that story? Many reasons. But I want to emphasize just one. You see here, we're about ready to close. Now, listen to me. Listen to me real fast. Look at the last part of Mark chapter 1, verse 41. Immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Hear me. That could equally be translated, and he was loosed. You see, the man was bound. Scripturally, he was bound. Bound with leprosy. He was tied up, bound. And now, free. Delivered. Loosed. Verse 43 of Mark 1. And he, Jesus, straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. The word straightly there would equally translate firmly. Yes, you could even use the word sternly, but firmly is really more the idea. In other words, Jesus was real, you know, hey, don't tell anybody. Let's see what happens. And he saith unto him, verse 44, see that you say nothing to any man, but go your way, show yourself, watch this, to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony to them. That's why I told you about Jack Flatt. Jack Flatt's healing was a testimony to every doctor that saw him and every nurse that saw him. They knew his condition, and the next morning he was loosed by the miracle power of the Lord Jesus. I did not pray for Jack when I went in. I already knew the answer. I just told him, Jack, in the name of Jesus, receive your healing, and left. I didn't pray because I knew the answer. Had I not known, I would have prayed. Do you hear the difference? If I do not know the will of God, I mean, see, there's a time God's going to take you home. Well, then I just pray and leave it in God's hands. May as well. It's in His hands anyway. I mean, I can struggle, but it ain't going to do any good. God is sovereign. Now, I notice it says, go show the priest, but look, which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, I just want to, in these closing moments together, listen, I want to tell you what that's about briefly, and next week give you some good, next week's going to be good. I wrote that in the notes. I'm so frustrated. I've now got you right where I want you. You know just enough now for me to teach the rest of the lesson and really appreciate it. But Mickey's big hand says it's time to go. Now listen. One of the biggest problems in this room in all our lives is when something happens to us, Melanie, we start trying to decide why. Or we'll invent a reason why. Something happens, I say, well, now the reason God did that was da 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 da. And I want you to see tonight that we don't even know what's going on. That God has so many people's lives interwoven and overlapping that we don't know what God's doing. People are always asking me that. I'll go up and see some brother in the ministry. They say, what's God doing in Houston? I don't know. I have no idea what God's doing. I don't know what's going on over at your house. What's God doing in Beaumont in the Golden Triangle? I don't know. I just go over there and, like Johnny Appleseed, I just sow the seed of the Word. And I let God do what He'll do. And there's many other men of God around here. And many laymen that are just sowing the Word. And living the Word before the lost and before their brothers to encourage the weaker brothers. I don't know what's happening. There's a lot of, I can tell you, a lot of good's happening, a lot of bad's happening. You say, well, is it getting better? No, it's getting worse. It's getting so bad that the King Himself is about ready to come. You hear what I'm saying to you? The Bible is very clear that the world's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse till finally the King comes in order to save us from blowing the whole place up. The Scripture says, if He hadn't come when He did, all life would have been destroyed. I want you to see that one of the reasons why this man had leprosy. See, why did the man have leprosy to start with? I don't know. It doesn't say. Maybe he sinned. Maybe it was his grandfather, and this is the sins of the father visited to the third and fourth generation. You say, I don't understand that. Sure you do. If your grandfather had syphilis, you'd be liable to be born with something wrong with you. That's the sin of the father visited to the children to the third and fourth generation. But it doesn't have to be like that. You can use other examples. Listen. Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego had made real commitments as young men to the Lord, yet they got carried away slaves to Babylon. Why? Their fathers and grandfathers sinned and would not repent. I don't know if it was their specific one, but you know what I mean. They're the people, the fathers, and this generation was carried away. These young men were following God, but they were suffering for the sins of other people. But hey, that doesn't mean they couldn't get saved. Didn't mean they couldn't live in the favor of God in a foreign land. But they couldn't see the temple of God. It was burned. The temple that Solomon built. They couldn't come down to and stand on the ground that Solomon and all the great kings after had stood and offered sacrifices. And all the high priests listed in the Bible, right? Come on. That same, they couldn't do it. That would have meant a lot to them. It would mean a lot to me to be able to be at a place and say, hey, Moses and Elijah and Hezekiah and David and Paul and Jesus, right here. Here's where it happened. Wow. Awesome, huh? They couldn't see that. God, for whatever reason, allowed this man to have leprosy. Now you hear this, for the glory of God. And let me tell you, if you had seen him 5 days before he got healed and said, is leprosy glorious? What do you think he'd have said? He was full of leprosy. Do you understand that when he was healed, when Jesus said, be thou cleansed, it wasn't like the example I gave earlier where I haven't seen your cancer and I don't know if you really got healed and I can't testify. I hope you did. I'll rejoice, but I don't know. No. He was full of it. The instant Jesus said, be thou cleansed. Had you been there like the disciples and anyone else around, instantly you would have seen brand new baby skin on him. totally, in all those horrible white blotches, maybe some with red and some with green and some with yellow. Who knows exactly which brand he had? Gone instantly. Devastating. But God isn't through. See, he healed because he had compassion for him. But I want you to see that God's got more going than this. Look, go to the priest. What priest? The doctor that examined him, that banished him. The priest who served, in effect, as a medical doctor to protect the community, to go out and examine him using the exact instructions in Leviticus 13 and said, you're banished. This man is now sent for. The very one. Hey, when this guy gets home. Now look, most of the priests, if you'd ask them, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He hadn't been ministering long here in Matthew 8. It's Mark 1, you might notice. Luke 5. Hey. Most of the priests, no, Jesus, he's not the Messiah. Pharisee, no. Whoa. Now you're sent for. That's what they were doing. The priest came. And he examines him, completely healed. Great Scots, man, I can't believe this. This is amazing. How did it happen? You know the guy's going to ask. Come on. You know the guy's going to ask. Well, as a matter of fact, and he tells him the story that I've told you tonight. Now, that priest may or may not have been convicted and fallen on his face before God and accepted Jesus as Savior or not. We don't know. But if he didn't, that night, when he sat down to dinner and he picked up that first fork full of green peas, can't you just see the Holy Spirit wipe him out, bringing it back to his remembrance? Jesus just said, I mean, no charismatic ritual, no Catholic ritual, shaking water here and a shaky water there and a mumble over beads here and mumble over the cross there. No. Be thou cleansed. And immediately, not go on your way and for the next 6 months make positive confessions. He was instantly healed. I mean, do you understand that this priest has got something to deal with? He knows that man. Hey, most certainly the man lived near him. You remember there were 48 cities and 13 of the Levites and 13 of them were for the priests. And this isn't that big a country. About like one of our counties here. He knew the man. What a testimony. I'm trying to show you Jesus was after that priest's soul. And that's one reason why the man had leprosy. And one reason why he got healed. But did you notice something? Whoop. It said, go show to the priest. Can you read? It's a thee. Singular. And it says, an offer. There was an offering, a ritual. We'll talk about it, the Lord willing, next week. For thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded. What for? For a testimony to what? To what? To them, great Zot. He went from a singular to a plural. Why? Because priests just like you and me. Hey, you think this priest, he lives, do you remember this priest lived in cities, 13 of them. He lives in a city full of priests. He's going to blab his big mouth. It's a testimony to him for them. Do you see it? He isn't just after that priest. He's after all those priests. You hear it? So when God does something wonderful, hey, give up on trying to figure God out. Pea-brained people, fellow brothers and sisters, we're not going to figure out why. He's too wonderful. He's got our lives so interwoven. Listen. Years ago, the Lord was good to me. I gave a teaching years and years ago. Brother Joe was a lost elder at a Disciples of Christ church right here in Beaumont. And that night, that one lesson, he got saved. I didn't even know it. We became close friends. We knew each other for months and months and months. And I had no idea how he got saved. Joe just thought I was so spiritual that surely I knew. And one time I just asked him, by the way, Joe, tell me about your conversion. Tell me your testimony. How long have you been born again? Tell me about it. And he looked at me in sheer disbelief. He said, you don't know? Well, that night you came to our church and taught Blood Covenant 1, I gave my heart to the Lord that night. You didn't know that? No, Joe, I didn't. Now, since that time, God has put a cord of love between Joe and me as brothers. And God has used Joe in this community to touch many other lives. And so, see, God works in us and through us, and I don't even know what's going on. People say, what's going on? I don't know. Now, let me just tell you this. I'm so excited about the rest of this lesson for one reason. Next week, we're going to get to look at this ritual. He said, now you go do what Moses said, this offering, and we're going to look at it. And this very thing, this testimony with this ritual, isn't going to get a lot of the priests saved. Hear me. But a funny thing happens. This ritual is going to deal with the resurrection of the Messiah. So that later, when Jesus is actually raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit is going to bring this together so that we're going to come to the book of Acts in chapter 6, I believe. It's chapter 6. And we're going to see that a lot of priests are going to get saved. And it's going to be several years after this. So, if you witness to someone, I don't care how good a witness it is, you come on, come on, come on. Healed from leprosy by a man. That priest, can't you hear that priest? Oh no, that's not our doctrine. Man cannot heal of leprosy. He couldn't have, he did. But he couldn't have, he did. Well, how did he do it? He just said, be thou clean, and I was clean. How do you know? Instantly, my skin was cleansed. Instantly, it was normal. But our church doesn't believe that. Just look at the skin. You hear me? I want you to understand that men still resist that. Healing doesn't get people saved. Quite often, it's quite an inducement. But I know, listen, I talked to a doctor I baptized in Colorado in a horse trough in January with snow everywhere. We put warm water in this horse trough, a heated horse trough made out of metal. He, his wife, and some of his family, and another person or so. And afterwards, he was the only surgeon in that community. He was the only surgeon for miles. And I asked him, how is it he got saved? He said, listen to one of my tapes. That's why they flew me out there to baptize him. It meant a lot to him. I didn't want to go, but I couldn't turn him down on the phone. You know what I mean? After someone tells me that. And I asked him, I said, well, has God, you know, tell me, had God never dealt with you? Did you? He said, listen. He said, I can tell you of at least 15 times people were miraculously healed in my hospital and told me about Jesus doing it. He said, some testimony. He said, I said, well, what did you do with that? He said, I couldn't handle it, so I just pushed it out of my mind. I couldn't deal with it. I wasn't looking. I was after money, power, and sex. Not necessarily in that order. He said, so I just pushed it. Submerged it. He said, and then God would just wipe me out with another one. He said, it got where I just barely would even hear it when they were saying it. But you listen to me. But God used that to soften him for that tape. You hear what I'm saying? By that time, someone could have told him Mary had a little lamb and he would have said, Jesus, your Lord. Why did God heal this man? This man didn't do it right. Jesus saw his desperation and in compassion ministered to him. How much more, therefore, should we, when people don't do it all just right? Nobody ever does it just right. Okay? So, what we've learned tonight is we have a good God, one that we can trust, one that we can come to. See, this man believed in the power of God. Good Pentecostal. But didn't know his heart well enough. A lot of Pentecostals have that problem too. If you're a Pentecostal in here tonight and that isn't your problem, don't get mad at me. You ought to be spiritual enough to know there's a lot of Pentecostals with that problem. There's a lot of Methodists with that problem. There's a lot of Baptists with that problem. There's a lot of Nazarenes with that problem. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. There's a lot of people in churches and denominations that are saved that still have that problem. Ask God to give you the grace to meditate on what you've heard tonight, what you've learned. When Jesus told this man not to tell anyone, Jesus did not mean for him to never tell anyone. It was a matter of priorities. In other words, Jesus was giving him specific instructions about what to do next, not what to do forever. Jesus wanted him to first go to the priest and show the priest. Now, after he got all that done, it would have been okay for him to tell anybody as a testimony to them too. But right now, don't go. The idea is, don't go blabbing over here, blabbing over there. I've got a job for you. I've got something in mind I want you to do. Do this first. Tell no one else till this is done. That's the context of what he's telling him. You might notice that the guy didn't do what he was told, and actually blabbed to everybody and blazed the whole matter abroad to the point we can't even tell if he went to the priest as we read the story, although I'm certain that he did. I find that rather amusing. It's quite a commentary on the fallen nature. See, under the Great Commission, we've been told by the Lord Jesus that as we're going into the world, teach and make disciples, just tell everybody. You don't have to go to Africa or Central America or someplace like that to find pagans to tell the gospel. Every one of you can, from where you live, just throw a rock in any direction, 360 degrees, and you can hit a pagan's house. Okay, almost certainly, unless you happen to live on a big farm, you know, and there's nothing nearby. But you better believe that one of the adjacent farms, there's a pagan somewhere. Pagans aren't all savages, that's the point. I know a lot of cultured, well-educated pagans. I once was one myself. This man was told not to tell, and he did. God told us to tell, and most of us don't. And that tells you and me a lot about the rebellion that's tied in with the fallen nature. Just the first verse. Whew. What a lot to learn about God. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, be glorified. Receive honor and glory through this gathering tonight. Encourage us all, Father, because you know how easily we're discouraged. You know the problems in this room. Those that are ill that need a touch from you. Those that need jobs. Those that have divorce scars. Those that have broken hearts from all manner of problems. Oh, Father, even Lord Jesus, even as you said to this man, I will be thou cleansed. Whatever the problem is, Father, right now, anyone in here that'll turn their heart to you, come into you like this leper, saying, I know who you are. Lord, out of compassion, meet their need. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Amen. God bless you, precious people.